Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. When we talk about genetics, about inherited risk, we're really talking about mutations. They're the source of all genetic diversity. But, you know, for decades, the common wisdom has been that most new heritable mutations, they happen late.
Right. We've always focused on adult life. So, for example, the huge number of cell divisions that happen when the male germline produces sperm, or maybe the meiotic stages in the female germline.
Yeah, the thinking has always kind of placed the origin point much later in the timeline.
Exactly.
It's like focusing on the final steps of manufacturing. But what if? What if the biggest errors weren't happening on the assembly line at all, but right when the foundation was being poured?
Mm-hmm.
What if the most influential mutations are actually born much, much earlier? Hidden in, say, the first few cell divisions of a brand new embryo.
Well, that is pretty much the bombshell conclusion of the work we're going to get into today. Researchers have found a mutation hotspot that was, for all intents and purposes, invisible to us until now.
Invisible.
Completely. It's an intensely localized surge of heritable variants, all focused on a really critical part of the genome. And its existence, well, it forces us to rethink the whole timeline of genetic risk.
It sounds like finding a fundamental flaw in the original blueprint. This isn't just an academic curiosity, is it? This changes how we might map out inherited disease risk.
It absolutely does.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Let's explore how researchers managed to pinpoint this hidden mutational crisis point at transcription start sites, or PSSs, and why the timing of it all is so critical. But before we get into the nuts and bolts, a study of this scale. It's just an incredible undertaking.
It really is. Today, we celebrate the work of Miguel Cortez Guzman, David Castellano, Claudia Serrano Colomé, Vladimir Saplersky, and Donate Weghorn, who have advanced our understanding of the timing and location of germline mutation origins.
And this was a major collaboration.
A huge one, yeah. It was driven by teams across the Center for Genomic Regulation, Harvard Medical School, and Brigham and Women's Hospital.
Okay, so let's set the stage here. For a long time, there's been this big debate about transcription,
mm-hmm.
You know, the process of reading DNA to make RNA and how it affects the mutation rate in our reproductive cells.
That's because transcription is it's a bit of a double-edged sword for your DNA stability. When you unwind DNA to read it, you expose it to damage. That's a process called transcription-associated mutagenesis, or TAM.
But at the same time, that process also kicks off repair mechanisms, right?
Exactly. It triggers something called transcription-coupled repair, or TCR. So you have this constant battle.
Damage versus repair.
And the consensus on which one of those wins out in the germline has always been, well, murky. Some studies would suggest transcription is protective, so repair is winning. Others found the complete opposite.
And it's hard to isolate the effect.
Very, because so many other things are happening in the genome at the same time, like replication timing, which also heavily influences mutation rates.
And we do know from cancer research that certain areas are just mutation prone. Specifically, these promoter proximal regions right near the TSS where it all kicks off, they're known somatic mutation hotspots.
Correct. We see this in lots of cancers. It's linked to transcription factors physically crowding the area, which, you know, makes it harder for the repair machinery to get in and do its job.
So the big question was, is something similar happening in the germline? And what's actually driving it once you strip away all that other noise?
That's the core question. And to answer it, you can't just look at common variants that have been around for thousands of years. You need fresh data.
You need to capture the most recent neutral mutations.
Exactly. So they turn to something called extremely rare variants, or ERVs. These are mutations found in less than 1.01% of the population, which makes them a fantastic proxy for recent neutral germline changes.
And the sample size here was not small.
Not at all. We're talking about ERVs pulled from NOMA and the UK Biobank. All told, that's data from over 220,000 people. They then compared that huge ERV data set to your standard de novo mutations from family sequencing and also to somatic mutations from cancer.
Okay, but the genome is messy.
Yeah.
Just counting rare variants won't work because some DNA sequences just mutate more easily than others because of their chemical makeup.
That's the critical point. To find a real signal, you have to control for all that background noise. So they calculated the relative mutation density in these tiny windows, just 1 kilobase and even 100 base pair windows right around the TSS.
So how did they account for that chemical chaos?
They used a really clever statistical tool. It's called a 5-mer context model. So think of it this way. The chance of the letter C mutating isn't just about the C itself. It's heavily influenced by the two letters on either side.
Ah, so a 5-letter context.
Precisely. This model let them correct for that local sequence composition. It ensures what they're seeing isn't just chemistry, but a real biological process tied to that specific location.
That rigor is so important. But even after correcting for the local chemistry, you still have these big regional differences. Like open chromatin versus closed chromatin. How did they handle that?
They basically threw the kitchen sink at it using a very sophisticated regression analysis. They tested 38 different genomic and epigenetic features, things like histone marks, replication timing, double-strand break sites, you name it, to see which ones still had a link to mutation density near the TSS after everything else was factored out.
They wanted to see what signal was left standing.
Exactly.
And when all that noise was filtered out, what they found wasn't subtle at all.
No, it was a blaring alarm bell. Yeah. They confirmed a dramatic mutational hotspot for certain ERVs right at the transcription start site, and it spanned hundreds of base pairs.
Okay, let's talk numbers, because this is where it gets wild. The excess of mutations was up to 14% over background in the broader 1 kb area.
And that was just the average. When they zoomed in, it got even more startling. In the first 100 base pairs, just downstream of the TSS, the density of these rare variants shot up by as much as 35%.
35%? That's a huge concentration, right where the cell is starting to make proteins.
It's massive. But here's the paradox that must have really puzzled them.
Right. If this hotspot is so obvious, so pronounced, why hadn't all those previous studies using de novo mutation data seen it?
This is the twist. That massive 35% excess was completely undetectable in standard de novo mutation data. It's like looking for a ship that sank right after leaving port, but you're only scanning the far horizon.
So what was being missed?
They were missing the mutations that happened so early they became part of the individual, but not in all of their cells. The researchers solved the puzzle by linking the TSS hotspots specifically to early mosaic variants.
Okay, can you break that down for us? What's an early mosaic variant, and why would it normally be filtered out?
Sure. So a mosaic variant is a mutation that's in some of your cells, but not all of them. An early one means it happened during one of the first few cell divisions right after fertilization.
So if it happens at the two-cell stage, it's in half the body's cells.
Exactly, including potentially the germline. The problem is that standard pipelines for calling de novo mutations are really strict. They expect a new mutation to be in basically 100% of the child's sequenced blood cells. If it's only in 50% or 25%, they often flag it as noise, as a sequencing error, and just throw it out.
So for years, we've been systematically discarding the very evidence that would have pointed to this hotspot.
Precisely. And this study found a staggering 52% excess in the density of these early mosaic mutations right downstream of the TSS.
52%?
Yeah, that number confirms it. A huge chunk of this mutagenesis is happening incredibly early during those first mitotic divisions of the embryo, even before the germline is properly set aside. The timing is everything.
Okay, so we know where the TSS and the when, the first few days of development. What about the how? What's actually driving this?
Well, their analysis pointed away from the usual suspects. It wasn't linked to the classic meiotic breaks we see later on. It was significantly linked to mitotic double-strand breaks, the kind that happened during normal cell division.
So it's a process tied to cell division and transcription itself.
And specifically how transcription is happening. The hotspot was also strongly associated with divergent transcription, where it's happening in two directions at once, with RNA polymerase II stalling and with the formation of R-loops.
R-loops are interesting. That's where the new RNA strand kind of sticks to the DNA template, leaving the other DNA strand exposed and vulnerable, right?
It's a recipe for instability, and the presence of all these features strongly suggests that the physical act of transcription is causing damage that the early embryo's repair systems are just struggling with.
And to understand that failure, they looked at mutational signatures, the molecular fingerprints left behind by faulty repair. What did they find?
They found 4 somatic mutational signatures that popped up exclusively around the TSS. 3 of them, SBS3, SBS40B, and SBS40C, are linked to defective homologous recombination repair, or HRR, and these sort of messy backup pathways.
Like a last-ditch effort to fix the break.
That's a great way to put it. HRR is your high-fidelity gold standard repair system.
Right.
When that fails, especially this early, the cell uses error-prone backups, and that process leaves these specific mutational scars right at the TSS.
And what about the 4th signature? SBS 39.
SBS 39 is strongly linked to C to G mutations, and it's been previously tied to maternal de novo mutation clusters. This just reinforces the idea that the problem originates in these early mitotic divisions, often coming from the maternal line.
The implications here for understanding disease just seem profound. We've been throwing out these early mosaic variants.
And in doing so, we've been blind to key regulatory variants that could predispose people to complex diseases.
So that missing heritability we always talk about in complex disease, this could be a big piece of it.
A huge piece. When they looked at the genes affected by this hotspot, they found significant associations with over 20 different types of cancers, plus neurological phenotypes, problems with mitochondrial activity, and even defective limb development.
This isn't just a random hotspot then. It's a hotspot for disease-relevant genes.
Exactly, and the timing is so specific. The study shows this mutagenesis really ramps up around the major transcriptional shift that happens between the 4-cell and 8-cell stages of development.
Wow. That is incredibly specific.
It is. It means almost immediately after conception, the embryo goes through this period of intense genomic instability right at its most important control switches.
And what about for evolution? This has to change how we calculate selection pressure.
Oh, absolutely. Our models for estimating negative selection in non-coding regions are now, well, inaccurate. They didn't account for this huge excess of mutation at the TSS.
So they underestimated the true mutation rate.
Right. And if the true rate is much higher, it means the selective pressure acting to preserve those regions is actually much stronger than we thought. This gives us a framework to correct those fundamental models.
It seems like every thread here ties back to that same idea.
Yeah.
It all happened so much earlier than we thought.
It does. The collective evidence strongly suggests this whole phenomenon is driven by transcription and non-canonical DSB repair right at the center of mutagenesis during the very first stages of human development. So the central insight, really, is that this discovery of an intense mutational hotspot at transcription start sites, which is fueled by early mosaic variants, it just completely redefines the timeline of inherited mutation. It shifts the origin of genetic risk from later in life all the way back to the first few cell divisions of the embryo.
We found this ghost population of mutations that we never knew existed, and they're incredibly important for both disease and evolution. So what does this mean for clinical practice? If these influential mutations are hidden so early, how long until clinical geneticists can actually adapt their methods to screen for them in, say, pre-implantation embryos? This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base. Coming home.
history in me. Don't tell me it's random when the pattern keeps its place, when the same dawn keeps returning to the same thin edge of grace. We carry quiet fractures like constellations drawn, small breaks that leave a pathway for the future to walk on. Right at the start line where the script begins, a whisper splits the mirror and it settles in the skin. You can miss it in the counting, you can filter out the sound, but it lives at the